Greetings, family. It's an honor and a privilege to share God's word with you tonight. Please have your Bibles ready because I have a lot of verses to share with you tonight. Let's start with prayer. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this opportunity to share your word. Thankful that we can gather as a family. Lord, that we can study your word. I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to see and to hear what you have for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would work through me, that I would just be a vessel. Lord, I pray that these words in your scripture would penetrate our heart, Lord, and that we would live our life to glorify you. In Christ's name, amen. The last couple of months, the elders have encouraged us to fast and pray for one another. And I'd just like to know how many of you have taken that challenge. When we intercede for one another, it draws us closer to one another, and it builds a beautiful bond when we bear one another's burdens, as it says in Galatians 6:2. I want to share tonight the example of prayer for the brethren that Paul gives us in the Scriptures. So I'd like to start with 1 Corinthians 1:4 through 9. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In that scripture, he talks about our utterance. That's our talk. Our speech should always glorify the Lord. And in all knowledge, he prays for the brethren that they would have knowledge. And thankfulness. Do we thank God for our brothers and sisters? How about our elders? And do we pray for the spiritual needs of our brothers? It's very important that we pray for the physical needs of the body, but I believe it's more essential to pray for the heart issues. And as we get to know one another, we begin to know the needs of each other. If you would turn to Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Paul says, wherefore I also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here Paul prays for wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him, their understanding being enlightened, which I pray for constantly, and understanding who Christ is and what he's done for us, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I looked up the word hope in the Greek, and it means to anticipate or great expectation. And that's one of the things that it's a blessing to have, is hope. I spent the last couple of months dealing with a co-worker, or actually a man that I work for, that had a heart attack and went through heart surgery and complications with that. And because of his terrible lifestyle. He was a bad smoker, and his lungs blew out, and so they had to put chest tubes in his lungs. And then, unbeknownst to the doctors, he was also an alcoholic, so he started going through withdrawals during this process. Had It was the DTs, but he was having hallucinations. That's the word I was looking for. And so they ended up having to sedate him and tie him down. But through this whole process, he didn't know whether he was going to live. There was fear in his eyes. I'd never seen fear like that in anybody's eyes before. But he had no hope of the future. He had no hope of what was... I mean, the man was a very wealthy man. Had no hope. And it just made me realize for him, that was good. That he could experience that and realize that he had no hope. And for me, I could see that I do have hope. And it was an encouragement. Anyway, this is what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us. In Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." How glorious is this? These are things that only come through Christ. These aren't things that we have in ourselves. Can we pray a greater prayer for our brothers? I mean, it's good to pray when someone's sick. It's good to pray when someone's in financial problems. It's good to pray when a brother's hurting. But here's something we can pray all the time for our brothers and sisters. And Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit." I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself. I am. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." It really means a lot to me. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ." Can we even get a hold of that? Maybe just a glimpse? Let's look in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul says, "And this I pray, again, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." He prays that our love would abound. I think all of you know the scripture in Matthew where Jesus quotes the Old Testament. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and thy strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." To love one another is an incredible thing. It's something we're called to do. It's also a privilege and a responsibility. I have a story to tell, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it through it. I recall a time years ago when my son Jedediah was in rebellion, not serving the Lord. Some of you probably remember, some of you don't. If you know him now, you can't imagine him ever going through a rebellion, but he's such a godly man. But we were in a discussion a little heated at the edge of the bed. And as we all know, the mother's prayers are not taken lightly. And Larry turned to him and said, "Son, we're praying for your body, but your soul, for your soul, but your body's optional." And his response was, "Mom." Well, we told him that whatever it took to bring him back, whatever it took, we were willing to go through it. We were willing to love him to the point of rejection. And we all need to do that. We need to love to the point where rejection doesn't hinder us. And if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving our neighbor will come easy. How can we love someone and not pray for them? And at the same time, how can we pray for somebody and not love them? There have been times when I've had difficulties with people, and I've taken it to the Lord on my knees, and before long I realized the difficulty was with me. It wasn't them. Let's look up Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Paul prays that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That even that's a hard thing to grasp. That we would be able to walk worthy and please the Lord. This is only through the power of Christ. And he has made us partakers of the inheritance. I looked up inheritance, and it means heirship, like being heirs. But with Christ, we're joint heirs. And has delivered us from the power of darkness. I think all of us can probably look back and see where we once were and how awesome it is that God delivered us from the darkness. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, praise God, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. To me, that's the most exciting thing of all. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 13. Can you kind of see where I'm going with this? Paul says, "Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Again, Paul prays that love would abound toward one another and that God would change hearts into holy hearts through Christ. Perfect that which is lacking and establish us in holiness. We heard about living holy last Sunday. Do we pray for these things for our brothers? Do we get on our knees and think about the folks in this list? And do we pray for them? Or do we just pray for the immediate needs? I know we all get so busy, so wrapped up in what's going on. And if we were to pray for our brothers, our stuff wouldn't look so important at the time. 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible that God would count us worthy of the calling and fulfill the good pleasure of his goodness, not ours. And that the Lord Jesus would be glorified. Isn't that our primary purpose, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever? Our lives and our prayers should glorify God. If we get to the point where we listen to our prayers and they're me, 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 then I don't know if that's really glorifying God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. Paul says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul thanks God for his brothers and sisters. Again, he reminds us that we have been chosen from the beginning and that our salvation is through Christ. This is going too fast, guys. Okay, I have one in Philemon, chapter 1, verse 4. My wife told me, she says, now is this what you're preaching or is this the outline? We'll see. I thank my God. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Well, my challenge to you, brothers and sisters, is to read these prayers of Paul. Be encouraged to love one another, pray for one another, and bless one another. Do not become weary in well-doing. Fulfill the law of the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. Pray for your family, your brothers and sisters, and for the elders. And what I wanted to do tonight, I don't know if we've got too big a group, but I kind of wanted to get in a circle and actually pray for one another, if that would be acceptable. Since my sermon ended too quick, too. Anyway, I did want to get in a circle. I guess we could go like around one of these sets of chairs and pray.